Hello and welcome into the Mashup, your number one source for sports, gaming, and everything in between. I am your host, Jake Patterson, and it is both championship week and major week. We got a lot to talk about, so let's get right into it. And obviously, we are starting things off with football. It was a good divisional round. It was a genuinely good divisional round, mostly because the Ravens game required no stress from me. Like, after halftime, that game was over. Like, that game was tied at 10 at halftime, and then the Texans never scored another point. Their only touchdown was off a punt return. The Ravens defense did its job. The Texans did not run a single play within the Ravens from inside the Ravens' 25-yard line. The Ravens absolutely dominated this game. Including two rushing touchdowns from Lamar Jackson. I couldn't believe Aguilar actually caught a pass that hit him directly in the hands. I would have assumed it would have been Zay Flowers. And Isaiah Likely doing his job filling in for Mark Andrews. All of it absolutely beautiful. And my poor friend, who bet exclusively on Gus Edwards anytime touchdown, right before the touchdown to Isaiah Likely, I don't feel too bad for him. I think he bet a quarter on Gus Edwards. So it, like, he only lost 25 cents. And then he, like, last minute, live bet the under in the Niners Chiefs game that was 45 and a half. So it just barely stayed under. My friend's gamble in weird ways. I put like between $5 and $20 on parlays and sometimes individual bets if I think they provide good value. This guy puts like a grand total of $1.50 on six different small bets that pay out like 40 cents each. And as much as I don't understand it, I do have to respect it. I do have to respect the restraint to only bet 25 cents every time you bet on something. When the deposit minimum for most sportsbook apps is $5. And the bet minimum on most, at least on FanDuel and DraftKings, the minimum deposit is $5. The minimum bet is 10 cents. So just exclusively betting a quarter every time, I have to respect it. Don't get it, but I have to respect it. So yeah, Ravens absolutely dominated the Texans. Like I said last week, I think the Texans are going to be good. They have their guy. They have a really good team. They were just not prepared for this Ravens team at all. Because if the last few weeks of the NFL has shown us anything, nobody is. Because I still haven't forgotten all that shit the national people were talking heading into that game on Christmas, which the Ravens, again, absolutely dominated. Ravens are, as far as the money line goes, Ravens are pretty hefty favorites to win. They're currently sitting at minus 200, at least according to the Score app. Let's check FanDuel as well. The number's probably similar because it seems like all the legitimate books have basically the same exact odds. Let's see. Hurry up and log me in. Actually, let me check the odds. Minus 198 on FanDuel. So essentially the same thing. Like plus or minus two is not that big of a difference. They're only favored by 3.5 in terms of the spread. I I think they cover that. This Ravens team is winning by at least a touchdown. They want to send a message. And I think they are going to send a message. That's like not, this is not even me being cocky as a Ravens fan. I think I can confidently say they're better than the Chiefs. Because, like, sure, they didn't play the Chiefs this year, but the Chiefs have not looked great. I don't really think they won that game against the Bills. They did. They were the winners by definition, but I also think the Bills themselves had a lot to do with how that particular game ended, because, you know, you saw my Twitter. I've made it abundantly clear how I feel about the fumble through the end zone rule. I think it is one of the dumbest rules in all of sports. Because if you fumble on the 1 yard line and it goes out of bounds at the 1 yard line, you keep the ball. But if you fumble out the side of the end zone a yard up, it's a turnover and a touchback. I think that is hands down one of the dumbest rules in sports. And it almost saved the Chiefs or the Bills, and they still couldn't do anything with it. They still did absolutely nothing with that. And let's be honest here. What's his name? Tyler Bass, their kicker? Yeah, Tyler Bass. He is the luckiest. Actually, no, he's the unluckiest since Billy Cundiff. Stephon Diggs is the lucky one. It helps that he's better than Lee Evans. Like, that much is true, but he still dropped an absolute bomb of a pass that was a sure touchdown that hit him directly in the hands, and he couldn't catch it. As a Ravens fan, I know what that pure torture is like, watching your talented quarterback hit his receivers directly in the hands, and then your quarterback gets blamed for it. I know that flavor of misery. Have you seen the wide receivers Lamar Jackson has had to deal with for the past 5 years? And the fact that now OBJ has had an absolute career revival in Baltimore, Zay Flowers is quite possibly the best receiver the Ravens have had since Steve Smith retired. Possibly going back to the other Smith, Torrey, who, if I recall, his first three catches in the NFL were touchdowns. All of them like 30 or 40 plus yards. I remember that game against the Rams. The Rams were absolutely terrible that year, so like take it with a grain of salt, but still, the guy's first three catches in the NFL from Joe Flacco go for massive touchdowns. Yeah, Josh Allen has an absolute cannon for an arm. He dropped an absolute dime to Stephon Diggs. Diggs dropped it, and that was game right there. Like, once Diggs dropped that pass, it was over. It's the same as the Lee Evans Cundiff thing in 2012. That game, if like the following year didn't happen when the Ravens absolutely dominated the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, you know, shut them out in the second half and all that, that game would haunt me. That game would haunt me even more than it currently does. That game still haunts me, despite the redemption a year later and like the storybook redemption, because, you know, the guy who replaced Lee Evans caught the pass that hit him directly in the hands and ran into the end zone. Credit to Champ Bailey for trying to make the hero play instead of just making a normal play and completely whiffing. You know, the guy who became the greatest kicker of all time and replaced Billy Cundiff, just absolutely nailing like a 50 something yarder in Denver. Like, the redemption of that. So yeah, I think the Ravens stand a very strong chance of beating the Chiefs this week. I think they cover, and I think they cover easily. It's 3.5. They're going to win by at least a touchdown, probably more. And I mean, it's the Chiefs, so the refs are sure as hell going to be trying to stop it. But what can you do against Lamar Jackson when your defense can't even really stop Josh Allen? Just a thought. It's not the Bills defense anymore, Casey. It's not the Bills defense anymore. It's the best defense in the NFL this year. So good luck dealing with them. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes is going to have a wonderful time bitching for roughing the passer every time Roquan Smith or Patrick Queen even breathe in his general direction. But can't flag every hit. Lions versus Niners, I'm much more conflicted about this one because, like, I want the Lions to win, but I also then don't want the Ravens to be the villains in the Super Bowl. I don't think they would be, but I feel like a lot more people would be cheering for the Lions. Just because, I mean, they're the Lions. Why wouldn't you? Like, any other year, I would be too, but I mean, I still want the Lions to beat the Niners because I think that would be funny. And it's so clear the NFL wants Chiefs Niners. Like, that, it's so clear that's what the NFL wants. They want Chiefs Niners so bad. And I just want to make sure they don't get it. Like, that's genuinely what I want. I want to make sure they don't get it. And I want Travis Kelce to immediately retire after the game, so the NFL loses all that psycho Swifty attention of people who are just watching the game to see her when it cuts to her for 10 seconds at a time up in whatever booth she's watching the game from. Because I lived through all the Derek Jeter bullshit with all these random girls who didn't give a fuck about baseball becoming Yankees fans because they thought Derek Jeter was hot despite not being from New York, having never been to New York, and knowing nothing about how evil the Yankees are. I will continue to scream this take from the rooftops. Derek Jeter was not even the best shortstop on his team. He is inferior to Cal Ripken Jr. in every way and is not actually all that good looking. But yeah, if you want, I think overall the best game of this weekend, this past weekend, was actually Niners Packers. Cause there was a genuine chance the Packers were going to win for a good chunk of that game. And I would have laughed my ass off at that. But I think, like, I hate to buy into the logo conspiracy theory, but it seems like it's coming true. The Ravens and the Niners are the two best teams in the NFL that seem destined to meet in the Super Bowl again. Like, if that were to be the case, the Ravens will have played in 3 Super Bowls. They will have met the Niners in 2 of them. First one was against the Giants, but yeah, I think the Ravens are going to win, and I want that to happen. Heart and brain are split on the NFC Championship game. My heart wants the Lions to win. My brain thinks the Niners will win. I know that's a total cop-out, but I feel like anyone who has watched any amount of the NFL this year would say the same thing. Like, Your heart wants the Lions to win because it's the better story, but your brain thinks the Niners will win because they're the better team. Tell me I'm wrong. But yeah, season is winding down. And then we get to focus on college basketball. But that's what I got for the NFL. Up next, we are going to switch gears, and it is straight gaming stuff for the rest of the episode. There was some hockey news that happened that I am paying attention to, but I don't want to say anything until it's clear, which I think will happen by the end of the day today, so you will get my reactions to all of that next week. But that's it for the NFL. Switching it up, gonna talk some Halo, both, actually all three facets of the Halo franchise. Esports, the current state of Halo Infinite, and the Paramount Plus show. It's all coming up next here on The Mashup. Hey, do you really like The Mashup and want to help support it even more?
Of course I do. You're so awesome.
Well, do I have good news for you. I now have a Barstool Sports Store affiliate link.
Oh, what the heck is that?
An affiliate link is a link that takes you directly to the Barstool store, but has some extra coding in it to let them know that I sent you, so I get some of the money from the sale in return.
That's so cool!
Yes, it is, and it helps me put out better and better content for you! And maybe does enough to get Barstool's attention that they'll give me a job. All you have to do is go to barstool-sports.pxf.io/themashup. That's barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup and get some merch. Doesn't matter what you get, you'll be supporting me and the mashup. And you get a cool t-shirt, hoodie, flag, or whatever else you want in return. So go to barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup today and help me grow this podcast even more. Welcome back. Let's talk some Halo, shall we? So it was a big week of news for the Halo franchise, because over the weekend we got the big community update stream from just 343 in general, talking about the next big content drop that is no longer called Season 6. It is now called Content Update 29. That rolls off the tongue so much easier than Season 6. But, stupid name change aside, a lot more stuff has been added to Forge. I can't Forge worth a shit, and haven't been able to since Halo Reach, when it turned into, you know, basically a watered-down dev kit. Instead of just a basic map editor. Because now it is a watered-down dev kit, straight up. I might be able to make modes with, like, the node logic. I might be able to figure that out. And now that you don't have to embed them into maps, that's pretty useful. You can just save them as separate modes. That's an incredibly useful feature for people who aren't talented enough to make cool shit in Forge, but have cool ideas for game types anyway. Because I made some cool custom games in Halo 3. I think everyone did. But, yeah, they also added a bunch of, like, Covenant Forge pieces, which look really cool. I can't wait to see the million midship remakes that come out of this. I know we already have Starboard, but, like, there's so many UNSC aesthetic maps. I want something different. Just like give me a proper midship remake. Also, all the flood items look absolutely disgusting. And someone, I don't remember if it was Unishek or Michael Shore, the Forge director, who suggested making a flood infected midship, which again sounds truly disgusting. It would be fun to play on, but it would also be really gross to look at. Mostly because midship is a great map. It is a near perfect Halo multiplayer map. Let's make it gross. But obviously the big thing, the elephant in the room they added, is Mark IV. Like, holy shit, we have Mark IV as an option now. Which, you know, now one of the most popular armor designs in the entire franchise, along with, like, the Halo Infinite version of CE Mark V is the best Mark V has ever looked. Like, the proportions aren't completely fucked. The angles are shaped correctly. Like, Infinite's version of Combat Evolved Mark V, despite being paywalled, is the best Mark V has ever looked. Basically any version of Mark VI outside of Gen 2, like, Gen 2 Mjolnir, I just don't like. I don't like Gen 2 Mjolnir, period. It doesn't look anywhere near as effective. Like, I get that it's lighter, but it looks nowhere near as effective as the Gen 1 or Gen 3 platforms. And I know this is getting into deep lore, but, like, just look at Gen 2 Mjolnir and tell me it looks as good as anything from Gen 3. Anything from Gen 3. You probably can't, can you? That's what I thought. But yeah, Mark IV and cross-core shoulders are a thing now, which that's cool. Can't wait to see the incredible designs and the absolute abominations that people make with the ability to do cross-core shoulders. Because there's some wild shoulder pieces out there, and now you can use them on any body type. Oh my god. I'm genuinely concerned for some of the things people are about to make. I expect to see a lot of the wolf shoulders on basically every core, though. I expect to see a lot of that. I expect to see a lot of the elite armor. I expect to see the elite skull a lot more. I expect to see the Emil shoulder pad with the big Kukri dagger. Those are the ones I kind of expect to see the most from. And I expect to see some of the really disgusting Flood ones, like the Flood George, the Flood Noble Six. Like, I expect to see those a decent amount. I expect to see maybe a little bit of Hazop. I wonder what Mark IV is going to look insane, though, because, like, Spartan Jerome 092 is maybe the most popular Spartan in the entire franchise that isn't Chief. It probably goes Chief, Jerome, all the members of Noble Team. I think it's personal preference who goes where, but, like, all the members of Noble Team are kind of all in a block. You know, the ones that aren't complete blank slates for you to insert yourself on. Like, saying Noble Six is your favorite Spartan is a cop-out. It's like saying Darth Revan is your favorite Sith Lord. And I will die on that hill. Noble Six is a badass, what little we know of his canon lore. But he's even more of a blank slate than the Chief is. So, like, saying Noble Six is your favorite Spartan is a total cop-out. Any other member of Noble Team, that's fair. Because they're all great. They're all amazing. And, like, Halo Reach is my favorite campaign in the entire franchise. So I will never fault anyone for saying a member of Noble Team that is not Six is their favorite Spartan. And then, geez, I don't know who would be next. I think Johnson would rank higher than any of the fours. Because, like, if you want to get technical, he is also a Spartan. Like, he's an Orion candidate. They're the Spartan ones. But yeah, having Jerome's armor is absolutely insane. I can't wait to see what people do to desecrate that poor man's armor. even though I'm pretty sure he's still alive. And the first event pass of content update 29 being the Spirit of Fire, like Spirit of Fire themed. I am very intrigued by that because I love the Spirit of Fire crew. I think they are badasses. So is Jerome. Like the man killed Flood with a freaking chair before he could get his hands on a gun. So, and you know, saved the entire Spirit of Fire crew from being infected with the help of Dr. Anders. So yeah, I'm very hyped for this update. I can't wait to see some of the new Spirit of Fire stuff. Also bringing back the Combat Evolved AR, which is one of the, like, with updated graphics, is one of the best looking ARs in the entire franchise. Because, I mean, it's the original. I have pure nostalgia for that design. I have pure unadulterated nostalgia for that particular design of the assault rifle. And it wasn't even in Halo 2, which is overall a better game, but it was in 3. The original definitely looks better though. Like I'm very excited for all the updates. We get the return of the Yappening, which is cool, and the middle one was Cyber Showdown. We get Cyber Showdown 3. Good God, that is 3 really good events. Like a serious one, a kind of meme one, and then a really meme one. I think that is amazing. that should be the pattern for all the operations. Kind of serious and like fully engrossed in the lore. Kind of memey, like Cyber Showdown, most of the Fractures. Actually, that's pretty much it. Those are the only ones that fit that category. And then just pure troll, like the Yappening. Like that's what the format should be. It doesn't have to be that order every time, but those should be the 3 in every new content update. Because they are no longer calling them seasons. They're just kind of going to keep rolling out operations on a continuous basis, which, fine by me, that's the Master Chief Collection model. So, and if you want to switch from credits to Spartan points, I'd also be very happy with that. Because Spartan points were great, and they should come back. Because sometimes I don't want to spend money to get the cool cosmetics. I just want to get the cool cosmetics. But yeah, so that's all the game status stuff. I think they are adding they're adding new maps, which is good. They still have yet to add a new gun or a new weapon outside of the 2 bandit variant, or new gun or a new vehicle outside of the 2 bandit variants, and no new vehicles, even though the Falcon is in the files. I want to have the Falcon back, dang it. And also, let me put a saber in Forge. Let me play around with a saber in Forge. Those things are so much fun to fly. But let's switch off the game itself, talk about the HCS. We have a roadmap for the 2024 season of the Halo Championship Series. 4 majors and worlds. That's it. Honestly, don't hate it. The Global Invitationals felt kind of weird because, you know, they weren't as big as majors. But one of them was better than one of the majors in literally every way in terms of being an event. And brings me to my first point on the roadmap. I don't know how the hell Optic deserves another major after the absolute disaster that was last year's, with, you know, nothing else to do, no concessions, no merch stands for any of the orgs, and it's the kickoff major, it better be fucking good. The other one in Split One, I have no worry. It's in London, and I expect Quadrant to put on a show. They have put the European Halo scene on their freaking backs in the past year. And there's a lot of EU Halo fans, so I'm expecting them to put on an incredible show. It's in May, so time difference isn't going to be too much of a bitch, hopefully. But yeah, it's still a major. It's in London, so thankfully it's only 5 hours for me. That's not terrible. It's not amazing, but it could be much worse. I started my esports career watching League, which usually its major events happen in Korea. So 5 hours is nothing compared to 13. And then in Split 2, which is basically the entire summer, because it runs from June to the first week of September. Got a major in Atlanta, hosted by FaZe, sometime in July. It is currently sitting at July TBA. But given the amount of time between the end of qualifiers and the majors for the majors we do know the two dates of, because I'm pretty sure February 24th and 25th is the qualifier, and then the major is March 15th through the 17th. So let's just count that out. Start on Friday. 2 weeks. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Actually, 3 weeks. And then let's just do this. August 24th. And 25th. That is also 1, 2 weeks. So I can imagine the Atlanta major will probably be either July 5th through the 7th or the 12th through the 14th. And the one in May in London will probably be April 20th through the 21st. The 3rd through the 5th or the 11th or the 3rd through 5th or 10th through 12th. That's just my prediction, because that's the amount of time between the end of qualifiers and the dates of the majors we do know. I'm obviously not going to make any predictions because I haven't seen what any of these new look rosters are going to do, but I am going to throw it out there and say SSG at least wins their home event. They won their global invitational last year. They will probably win their major this year. And I wish I lived a little bit closer to Salt Lake so I could make it out to that, but I have and had the money to do that kind of traveling, because I have already committed to going to the Charlotte COD major in June. So yeah, I wish I could be going out to Salt Lake for that particular event, but no such luck. Unless anyone wants to pay me to go cover that, link to my Twitter in the show description as always. Hit me up over there. Just you know, putting that out there in case anyone wants me to go cover the SSG major in Salt Lake, or all four. Go cover the Optic major, and then go back to my hotel and watch the Selection Sunday show, because it's literally that weekend. The Optic major ends on Selection Sunday, which makes me very happy. When I saw that it was in March, I was a little worried, but I looked it up. Selection Sunday is on the 17th. That is the day the Optic major ends. So I will be able to dual screen if in the highly likely event I am watching that from my couch. I will be able to dual screen the championships and the NCAA selection show. But yeah, I'm very excited for this HCS season. They've kind of streamlined the process. You just have the four majors. They're all hosted by teams who more or less give a shit about Halo. I would hope FaZe does, because they don't get to host any COD this year. So I hope they put on a show, because is Optic hosting a COD major this year? They aren't. It's a fucking miracle. Yeah, my opinion of Optic has gotten a whole lot worse over the past year, if you couldn't tell, because their fans are kind of assholes. But now let's do the thing no Halo fan wants to do. Talk about the Paramount Plus show. So lead actor who portrays the character not so affectionately known as Jimmy Rings, because he does not act like Master Chief at all, Pablo Schreiber came out and said that if you have a problem with him constantly taking off our helmet, you don't like the show. Yeah, I don't like the show. No one likes the fucking show, Pablo. That first season was an absolute disgrace to the Halo franchise. And it's not just the fucking helmet. Sure, that's a problem, but there are so many bigger issues. How about you having sex with some random Covenant chick who... Why is there a Covenant human? When the elites brought her back to the ship, the prophets would have killed her immediately. That was the whole point of the Human Covenant War. It was to cover up the fact that the entire Covenant religion was built on a lie. The Forerunners are not gods. The Halo rings do not provide some glorious salvation. They're super weapons. And the prophets all knew this. And the fact that humanity can make Forerunner tech work and they can't was the whole point of the fucking war. But yeah, Chief having sex with her while Cortana watches for some reason, because she's randomly implanted into his fucking brain instead of on a chip that inserts into his helmet and then interfaces with his Mjolnir. You know, the thing that would make sense. Not to mention Commander Miranda Keyes somehow becoming a scientist instead and following in her mother's footsteps, despite still changing her name to Keys, because she was born Miranda Halsey. Like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, she was born Miranda Halsey. Was the daughter of Captain Jacob Keys and Dr. Catherine Halsey. Miranda quickly ascended through the ranks of the UNSC Navy and served as the commanding officer of both In Amberclad and Forward Unto Dawn during the final months of the Human Covenant War. She was the captain, well, she was a commander, but she was the CO of two different massive ships. She was not a fucking scientist. And she changed her name to Keys because she was closer to her father. So her becoming a military scientist instead, her title being doctor, is a complete assassination of the character of Miranda Keys. Where's In Amberclad? She probably doesn't have her yet when the show takes place, because the show's before the fall of Reach. But she should still be, like, an officer. And honestly, she might have been captain of In Amberclad while the events of the first game were happening. Because In Amberclad was smaller than the Pillar. Forward Unto Dawn wasn't. Forward Unto Dawn was a massive ship. But in Amberclad was smaller than the Pillar of Autumn. So she could have still been in charge of an Amberclad. Why did you have to make her a fucking scientist? Or the complete lack of Johnson. Where's Johnson? You know, the comic relief, the one of the best side characters in gaming history. Captain Keyes' right-hand man. Where was Johnson? Did you just get rid of him because you cast a black guy as Keyes? Is that really the reason? Like, I don't care that Keyes is a black guy. He could be played by any race. Because the fact that he's white didn't really matter. Because he was just a military officer, like, who died in the first game. Did you really get rid of him because you cast a black guy as Keyes? Because if it is, that's stupid. They're two completely different characters. And Keyes doesn't act like Johnson in the show at all. So you're just missing a vital character. I've been so high on Halo, and then the show keeps rearing its ugly freaking head. And I just remember that sex scene with Chief and... Bo-Katana looks all sad and watches. God. And even like the basic stuff, like I realized how important basic stuff is when you're adapting because it shows how much the people doing the adapting care. Like stuff that has no relevance to the plot, but is still like recognizable. A YouTuber gave the example of the Peter Johnson movie changing Mrs. Dodds to an English teacher. When the first thing you read in the first book after the dedication is chapter one, I accidentally vaporized my pre-algebra teacher. Like, her being a math teacher versus an English teacher serves no greater purpose to the plot. She gets missed it either way. But it's right there. Like, why? Halsey's coin. It is described in Fall of Reach, as being
Reach City.
It is
instead of New Alexandria, which is a way better name. In the Fall of Reach
graphic novel, as a quarter. Why was it a UNSC?
Why did Halsey wipe the two's memories? That's actually a big thing.
Use physical currency.
Because actual canon Halsey was the one who said, "Don't do that." Why was Sho Halsey the leading architect of wiping their brains and hiding the truth from them? What is the point of that? Dr. Catherine Elizabeth Halsey is already a terrible person. Why did you need to make her worse? Like, she is supposed to have some redeeming qualities. She created the Spartan 2 program that saved the human race. She's not supposed to be a mad scientist. I mean, she is supposed to be a mad scientist, but she's not supposed to be a truly evil mad scientist. She is supposed to be ends justify the means, not just pure evil who wants to destroy the human race, apparently. And implant everyone with AIs that can take over their bodies. Because in season one, it seemed like that was Halsey's end goal. Her end goal in creating the Spartan program was to save humanity. From itself initially, but, you know, the Covenant showed up and made the Spartan program even more necessary, but that's beside the point. The point of the Spartan program was to save humanity, not replace it with a race of robots with no free will. That was not her end goal. And like she talks about it in Halo 5. She says our next evolution. That's not what she meant. The Spartans make humanity better. They are the pinnacle. And the Spartan 4s are going to be able to have kids. So they're going to pass that stuff down. So, yeah, like, Spartans are the next evolution in humanity. We are going to get better at things. Not have our free will wiped by an army of AI Hughes. By an army of AI Dr. Halseys. Ugh. God, this show makes me rage. I want season two to be good. The trailers have me convinced to give this show another shot. But when the lead actor comes out and says, oh, if you care so much about me taking my helmet off, you don't like the show. There's so much more that's wrong with that show, Pablo. Ugh. But I'm done ranting for now. I'm going to be excited about the update. It comes out in less than a week. Comes out in 6 days. I'm very excited. Still got to finish the winter contingency pass. So I should probably do that soon. But yeah, that's what I got for Halo. Up next, going to talk some CDL. Got the major coming up this weekend, and it should be interesting to say the least. It's coming up next here on the Mashup. It is Major 1 weekend, so let's talk about that. It has been a long stretch of online qualifiers, and watching online COD esports just does not compare to the real thing. Especially when people's ping numbers are skyrocketing through the freaking roof and affecting the outcome of matches. Because you can play League on like 60, 70 ping. You definitely cannot play COD on ping that high. Especially if it's going up even higher, like 80, 90, 100, 100 plus. So it'll be nice to be back on LAN where everyone is playing the same way in front of a probably ravenous Boston crowd when it won't be as fucking cold. Because last year, when we had a Boston major, they were telling people not to get in line until the doors open to avoid them getting frostbite. Because it was that cold in Boston last year. Now, if this was a week earlier, that would still be the case, because it would have been snowing up there. Boston might actually still see some snow this weekend, just not a whole lot of it. And it probably won't stick because it'll be kind of warm. And it's been a little bit warmer all week, up and down the entire East Coast. But yeah, I'm excited for this one because I think it will finally reveal who's good-ish and who isn't. It's really hard to tell this year because, you know, NYSL are absolutely atrocious at hardpoint, despite being the reigning champs. FaZe look very vulnerable, which again is hilarious and exactly what I predicted, but I didn't expect it to happen early in the season. But yeah, the Thursday games, outside of the last one, Optic Miami, because it's hilarious that this team has been Optic's kryptonite for the past 2 years. And I think it's really funny. And I want Optic to start losing more. I'm so tired of everyone in the community kissing their asses when they don't deserve it. Because it makes their fans expect it in other games that they're not as foundational to. Like, it's so bad in Halo. It's so bad in Halo. It's what heavily changed my opinion on Optic. It's that they, I mean, them getting all salty last year about the SAE when he didn't call it in intentionally. It got glitched and acted like that was entirely Rocker's fault when it wasn't. It was Infinity Ward's fault for not getting a ranked mode out quickly enough, for not having the streak selector work properly, and having a game-breaking glitch like that persist over a month past launch. So yeah, I don't blame Rocker for that. And the SAE memes since last season have all been incredible. And the fact that they just cannot beat the team that was formerly known as the Florida Mutineers and is now known as Miami Heretics, I think is hilarious. They just cannot beat them on LAN. They didn't beat them online either. Like, they just lost to them. And they didn't just lose. They got swept. Where is that game? I know it happened. God, I cannot find this game on the freaking schedule. I know it happened. Where, there it is. Yeah, it was Friday the 19th, so it was last week. They just got swept by them. And it's probably going to happen again. And it'll be really funny. Because what's my... Because I know I picked them to lose in my pick'em. Wait, that's too far down. There we go. Okay, I gave them 3-1 in my pick'ems. Because I figure on LAN, you're going to have a lot of Optic fans there. They're going to be being obnoxious, doing that stupid green wall chant, which sounds way less cool without the drum when they're at ESA and can actually do it. But yeah, they're going to lose to Heretics again. And then they're going to drop down to Loser's Bracket. And they're, who do they play in Loser's Bracket? Oh, they get Vegas in Loser's Bracket, assuming they lose to Heretics, which I have them doing. Which, good for them. They'll be able to beat Vegas on Friday afternoon. The game's at 4:30. It's the third game of the day on Friday. Good God. These Friday games are not that interesting. At least as I currently have them, these Friday games are terrible. Battle of LA at 3. Optic versus Vegas at 4:30. Surge versus Breach to close everything out. I have Breach winning because Surge are truly awful. And Minnesota versus Carolina. So yeah, but I'm not going to go through my entire pick'ems. Long story short, it's a champs rematch. Like, that's what this is all leading to. That's what all of the qualifiers have been leading to. Heretics are a little bit of a dark horse because they've surprised me and everyone else. But everything that's happened in the online qualifiers has been leading to that one thing. Like, Ultra and Subliners right next to each other in the standings. They're 6-1 each. FaZe is 7-0, but they are going to choke on LAN because the second Hazard's girlfriend calls out a search spot and gets kicked out. His mental's going to crack and they're going to lose. And Cell can't snake like a little bitch. And since they're on LAN, it's going to be even more obvious that outside of the Terrors, who are not IGLs, they are Raw Slayers, don't like have no mental whatsoever. Like, Draza doesn't have any, Cell doesn't have any. They're the two most punchable people in the entire CDL. Yeah, I think this has all been building up to a champs rematch, and FaZe will not get in the way. Like, I have FaZe dropping out in losers four. Like, they don't make winners finals. They don't make losers finals. They drop out in losers four to NYSL, and NYSL fulfills their destiny and meets up with Toronto in the finals, where I think Toronto's going to win. Just because they were so close at champs and they're better at hardpoint and New York's really bad at it. And Toronto picked up Envoy. That was the big change. That was the big change they needed to beat them was picking up Envoy. And I think they do it. I think it goes to 7. Like, I have it as a 4-3, but I think Toronto's going to win the whole thing. I think Toronto's going to win this weekend, and they're going to do it against NYSL in a game 7. That's my prediction. I have no idea if it's right or wrong. It will probably be horribly wrong, but it just feels right that we get a champs rematch at the first major of the year, because we didn't get that last year, mostly because the champs kind of sucked. And the one time they made a major final, it wasn't even a real major because they were playing in a damn strip mall. But, oh yeah, forgot, I'll have more picks as they come out and the weekend goes on, because, you know, can't even have picks for Friday right now because don't know who's losing on Thursday. But yeah, here's my picks for day one. Under 3.5 in LAG versus FaZe, because FaZe is probably going to sweep, but I didn't want to bet on them, so I just took the under, which is effectively the same thing. And actually has better odds. Miami plus 1.5 against Optic. I think they're going to win. Plus 1.5 is a joke. And Toronto minus 2.5 versus Seattle. That's risky because that means they sweep, but Seattle aren't good. And Toronto is my pick to win the whole thing. So I think they can handle a team that fluked their way into the winner's round. So, yeah, those are my picks. Do with them what you will. Fade me. Go with me. Up to you. But yeah, that's it for the show this week. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all enjoy your weekends and the rest of your week. And I will talk to you guys next time. Till then, peace.